What about confessing our sins and asking the Lord to search our heart and turning from our wicked ways? What about asking the Lord to take away our pride or our greed or our selfish motives, you know? There's lots of talk about the physical hygiene, but what about spiritual hygiene? That's why the church is an essential service. That's why wherever there's an on-fire church, it changes the community. You know, years ago, Brian Pickering from the Australian Prayer Network shared a story on, I did a History Makers interview with him on Vision Radio, and he shared this story. He said that all the pastors of Canberra gathered together and they had a map of Canberra, and they had one map that showed all the on-fire churches around Canberra, and they had the police chief from Canberra in there, and wherever there was an on-fire church, that region, that suburb, had the lowest crime rate. Wherever there wasn't an on-fire church, they had a high crime rate. And so what the police chief challenged everyone, he said, look, it's great, well done, that where your churches are, there's a low crime rate. That's really good. He said, but what about the areas where there's a high crime rate? Why don't you go and start a church in there? Sadly, a lot of those pastors went, oh, no, that's not really for us. We're happy doing our thing here. We've found our niche. We're staying here. If God calls someone else to go to that high crime rate area, God bless them, but we feel called to this. I remember Brian Pickering say his heart broke because the Apostle Paul wanted to go and preach where the gospel hadn't been heard. Jesus would go to the last, the least, and the lost. He would go out to the highways and the byways. He would leave the 99 and go after the one. And I'm even thinking for us as a church, we're blessed to have this hub in the inner city. And we don't know how long we're going to be capped at 100. But I actually believe that God is going to call up people in our church to go and plant churches all around this city. In their homes, whether it be in a school hall, whether it be in a park, whether it be wherever. I believe God is going to enlarge our territory and stretch out our tent pegs. So I'm asking you to pray and think about how we can be more effective in reaching the whole of Brisbane, not just the inner city of Brisbane. And where is God calling us to go? I believe we need to lift up our eyes. I believe just like the tsunami draws the water back and then it comes, I believe we're going to see a massive move of God in our nation. And we need to be ready to ride that wave. We need to be ready to do what God's told us to do in these last days. And I want to challenge you today to make sure that your heart is right with God. You know, I just got to confess, I've had a few bad days during lockdown. Anybody else had some bad days? Stuck at home, going stir crazy, not able to go out to a cafe or a restaurant, not able to go out to church, not able, you know. We were made for community, weren't we? You know, and I love my wife and kids, but it was just nice to have a break every now and then, wasn't it? But I had some days where I was like, oh, this is like Groundhog Day, the same old every day. What are we going to, you know? And a lot of people have told me they've felt, I'm just speaking and being real. Can I be real? Is that okay? You know, a lot of people have felt that, you know. And I felt convicted whenever I'd get grumpy and crunchy. Yeah, that's right. I get grumpy and crunchy. I may seem all happy up here, but I have my days, you know. I got a bit grumpy and crunchy every now and then. And my wife is, so I have the Holy Spirit that helps me and my wife that helps me with that. They both help me and challenge me. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, you know. My wife will often challenge me about that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit would often remind me and say this, Matt, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come back to your first love with Jesus. Remember, this relationship with God is the most important thing on the planet. And once you get this right, the vertical side of your relationships, then the horizontal side of your relationships will go well. When you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Once you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways, then he'll direct your paths. And that's why I love the cross. It's vertical first because our relationship to God is the most important thing. But then it's horizontal as well. When we reach out to our fellow man, let's remember the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that'll help us in the way we have our relationships with others. And, you know, joy is contagious. You know, we've been talking about how COVID-19 is contagious. Joy is contagious. Come on, somebody give me a smile out there. Yeah? You know, we need to make sure we have the joy of the Lord. You know, I believe that as Christians, we need to get a fresh revelation that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, you know. Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is a nice buzzy feeling when you might have a nice drink or you might hear a nice joke or something fun will happen, you know. Happiness is just a fleshly, fleeting thing. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. We know in Galatians 5 it says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Anybody here want joy from the Lord? You know, and I think about all the songs that we sing. We sang one today, you know. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, I just believe we need to declare it regularly. We need to speak it out. We need to ask God to give us spiritual joy. You know, I think, sadly, some Christians look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. Some Christians, they light up a room when they leave it. And, you know, I actually believe we need to learn from my puppy dog, Tilly. She is the happiest little puppy you'll ever... Who's met Tilly before? She is the happiest little labradoodle you're ever going to see. She comes up. Sometimes we'll have people in our house in tears, weeping, sobbing. She'll just curl up on their feet. I had a guy last year, Tilly curled up on his feet, and he said, mate, that is just what I needed. And he just patted, you know, our furry little fur baby Tilly, you know. And Tilly just brought joy to him, you know. We need to be joy bringers wherever we go. And have you heard the exciting news? Tilly's pregnant, everyone. She's got 12 little puppies in there. And we have agreed to have one. So we're going to have two in our house soon. She's due in about 4 weeks. So please pray for us. And I'm actually asking for some advice about what we should name her puppy as well. So we thought maybe Millie, because it could be Millie and Tilly, maybe, you know. Maybe Chewbacca. Yeah. The Star Wars fans? No, maybe not. What about Winnie the Poodle? No. Mary Poppins? No, okay. I just got crickets then. What about Nacho? Because I can say, yeah, it's Nacho, dog, it's mine, you know. No? Anyway. But I got to tell you, no matter how long I've been away, I can be out of the house for a minute or I can be out of the house for a week. When I come back, she's like, Daddy's home, wagging that tail, jumping up on me. You know, she is so joyful. We've got to be joy spreaders. You know, dogs are man's best friend. You know, God created dogs, you know, way better than cats. Can I get an amen for that? I do love cats as well, but, you know. But I believe God created animals to be companions to us. All the research shows that they're really good for mental health, for all that kind of healing and stuff. You know, they're really good. Whenever my kids throw a tantrum, Tilly is there to cheer them up and lick them to death, you know. And I just believe we need to learn to have that, to be joy carriers wherever we go, to have short accounts. Like the other day, she pooed in the lounge room. I'm just getting real with you now. She's pregnant. She, you know, she can't control herself at the moment. Anyway, and I got mad with her. I sent her to the bathroom. No, naughty dog. And she does that thing, you know, walks away all sad, you know. 10 minutes later, I let her out. She's like, Dad, hey, I'm back again. Oh, you know, she's forgotten about me being mad at her, you know. We need to have that same attitude as believers, don't we? Just be a quick forgiver. Have short accounts. Just come back to having joy. I really believe that, you know, as Christians, people read the way we are a lot more than what we say. People care a lot more about the way we live than the actual words we say. They'll listen a bit to our words, but they'll watch us. They'll see if we're good forgivers. They'll see if we love each other in our marriages. They'll see if we raise our children well. They watch us. And the number of times I've heard people say, what is it about you? You know, I remember years ago I was interviewing Peter Andre. Do you remember him, the singer from the 80s with the abs, you know? Mysterious girl and all that. Anyway, I was at a radio station. I was interviewing him. My boss was a Christian. I was a Christian. We were at a secular radio station. And we were just buzzing. We're like, hey, Peter, welcome, you know. And then he says, what are you guys on? And I said, Jesus. And he goes, is that some new kind of drug? And I said, no, it's Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And he goes, what, are you Christians? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I've never met happier people than this in my entire life. We were jumping out of our skins, you know. He said, I thought religious people were all fuddy-duddies. I said, not me, mate. I've got the joy of the Lord is my strength, you know. And I remember I was able to witness to him because he asked me, what's different about you? You know, people should be able to see the joy of the Lord in you. You know, the eyes are the gateway to the soul, you know. People should be able to see in your eyes the joy of the Lord. And if you don't have that, you need to ask Jesus to give you joy. Not a superficial, fake happiness, you know, that's fleeting, but true joy. That no matter what your circumstances, you have a spiritual joy. You know, my son Joshy up here had a big operation a couple of years ago, and he'd had all this stuff done. He was in a wheelchair. It was a real tough time for him. And he was in a lot of pain, a lot of medication. And we would just constantly say to him, mate, we're going to pray for you. You're going to get through this. You're going to be okay. Because how many of you know our troubles are temporary? They shall pass. COVID is temporary. This will pass. Troubles in finances are temporary. They'll pass. Joshy was going through excruciating pain. And one night I went into his room at, you know, 2 a.m. and he was crying in pain and agony. And I gave him some more Panadol. That's all we could give him at the time. And I prayed for him and, you know, hope you're all right, mate. And I hugged him for a bit and eventually went back to sleep. And then half an hour later, I heard him crying out in pain, like in agony. You know, it was heartbreaking for me as a father. And, you know, a father really wants his son to have no pain, you know. That's how our father's like with us, you know. He loves us. He wants us to have joy. Anyway, I walked in after hearing him crying out in pain and I just heard him start singing. I was like, wow, what's he singing? And I listened up and he's singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In my darkness will flee. The joy of the Lord is my strength, you know. And he had tears in his eyes. I know I'm embarrassing you, Josh, but you gave me permission to tell you this story. But you know what? With faith like a child, we'll have the joy of the Lord as our strength, amen. Us adults, we stress way too much. We worry about way too much stuff. We get grumpy about so much stuff that is not our problem. Jesus said, don't worry. It's a sin to worry, you know. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Trust in the Lord. Sing to him. So I want to challenge you, whatever you're going through, be like Josh. WWJD, what would Josh do? Just sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You might want to sing another one. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Think of all the songs we sing. What was the one this morning we sang about the joy of the Lord? Was it Holy is the Lord? Anyway. So many songs mention the joy of the Lord. And I believe that's why it's so important that we worship together corporately and privately. Because when you worship God, you take your eyes off your circumstances and you look to the Lord. Amen. And you receive the joy of the Lord as your strength. Remember that song I sang at youth group? Joy is the flag flown high from the castle of my house. We've got to make sure we have joy. And don't let anyone steal your joy. There are joy stealers that come into my life. And I avoid them like the plague. God bless them. I'll have a listen to what they have to say. I'll read their email. I'll, you know, consider whatever their thing is. And then I'll say, bless you. I'm just going to follow the joy of the Lord. I'm not going to let people drag me down. Let me tell you, I've had so many people, you know, people are really good at being church critics, you know. Everyone's an expert when it comes to how to run a church, you know. So many people come and they try and tell me to do this and tell me that they try and steal my joy. And, of course, I've got to listen. I've got to be godly. I've got to be wise and take and be teachable. But if I listened to everyone that told me what to do, I'd have no joy in my life at all. I've got to listen to Jesus more than anything about what I'm called to do, amen. I don't know if you've got joy stealers in your life. We've got to learn to have boundaries. And it's got to be like, you've got to have an unoffendable spirit as a Christian believer. When people speak words, curse words or negative words, don't let it drag you down. Don't let negativity take root in your life. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life for negativity. Let it be like water off a duck's back and have the joy of the Lord as your strength. So let's look at this verse. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says, Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people who had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So a bit of context around that verse. You know, what does it mean for the joy of the Lord to be our strength? It's brought to fullness when we accept His provision of His righteousness by grace that reunites us so we can enjoy His presence. The joy of the Lord is a familiar line. There are numerous songs that we sing about it, and we use it to encourage each other. But what does it really mean? Where do we get it from? What is the joy of the Lord? And how does it provide us strength? The term "the joy of the Lord" from Nehemiah is spoken after the children of Israel returned to Jerusalem from exile. They were listening to the law being read and were overcome with condemnation and were weeping. So it's fascinating to look at the context of this. So we preached through the book of Daniel recently in our church. And we talked a lot about the exile when the Jewish people were taken into captivity for 7 years and they were under a secular rule in a foreign country. Remember Daniel and the Hebrew boys? Remember the story of the boys in the fire? You know, we talked through that. They were in exile. They were taken out of the Holy Land and placed in Babylon in a secular world, and they were in exile. I think that's actually a little bit like what we've been through in the last few months. We've been taken out of our fellowship and stuck in our homes. Now, praise God, we've been able to have Facebook church and YouTube church and online church and Zoom groups, you know. Thank God we've still got that technology to connect with each other. And, you know, I believe, you know, the devil tried to shut down the church, but Jesus turned every Christian home into a church, amen? Because it doesn't matter about the building. What matters is the people gathering together. Wherever two or more gather in the name of Jesus, there He is in the midst. Praise God. But I have to also say it was a little bit like an exile. We couldn't gather in the way we normally would. And I think during this time there has been a bit of weeping, a bit of mourning. But when they all got together again, they were overcome with condemnation after they heard the law read. Because see, that's what the law does. The law reminds us of our sin. The Bible says in Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster that led us to Christ. When we read the law, we realize that, you know, we've coveted, we've worshipped false idols, we've used the Lord's name in vain. You know, we've done all sorts of things that have broken God's laws. There's over 612 laws in the Old Testament. We've all broken some of those laws at some stage of our life. So isn't it interesting that when the law is read, when we hear the law, we have weeping and condemnation. When Ezra was reading the law to the people, it produced sorrow in their lives and behavior were not in alignment with, because their behavior was not in alignment with the law. But instead of being rebuked and condemned, they were instructed to celebrate because of the joy of the Lord. The children of Israel were never known for their perfect behavior. They were known for being the people of God. They were His and He loved them. His people had been separated from Him in exile for years and were finally reunited to Him. God had His beloved people back. Why would He not have joy? You know, in Matthew 15, Jesus tells three stories. You can write this down in your notes. Matthew 15, there's three famous stories. He tells the story of things that are lost and then found. A sheep, a coin, and a son. All three end with rejoicing because what was lost is now found. God's joy is in the reconnection or the union. You know, you see, even though they were in exile, even though they were having the law read to them and they were feeling convicted that they hadn't been following God's ways, Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," because the Lord is joyful that His people can be united again. You know, I believe God's smiling over us today. God is loving that we can finally be back together again. God loves it when lost people are found. That's what those three parables are about. You may have heard the news story this week about the young 14-year-old boy with autism that was lost in the bush for 2 nights. Who heard of that story? He was out in the bush for 2 nights. And the police went searching for him. People were searching for him because he was lost. The police actually cooked bacon and onions to try and draw him out because he's nonverbal, you see. And he doesn't like loud noises, so he might have been scared by the yelling. So they're cooking these things to try and draw him out by the smell. They were playing Thomas the Tank Engine music really loud from their police cars because it's his favourite TV show, hoping that he'd hear it and go, oh, I want to go and watch Thomas and come out. But nothing drew him out. But there was one guy that went deep into the bush. Before I get to the punchline there, I saw in the press conference, I think it was on the Wednesday morning, the lady said, the mum said, I'm not the praying type, but today I've started praying. 2 hours later, they found him. Because God loves it when lost people are found. Isn't that good news? God goes out, would leave the 99 and go after the one. God rejoices when lost people are found. So how does the joy of the Lord provide strength in our life? You know, the children of Israel, they mourned due to their failure to uphold the law. They felt hopelessly separated from God. But God is love. And the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. The joy of the Lord gives us strength to reach for God's provision of love and salvation. Let's look at this verse in Zephaniah 3:17. You know, I love reading through the minor prophets. A lot of people only read through all the popular books of the Bible. I love reading through the Bible every year. In the minor prophets, there's some great ones. Zephaniah 3:17. It says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. Everyone say, all. He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. You know, one of the biggest problems we have on the earth today is people have a misunderstanding of who God is. People think God is a cranky, grumpy, old judge in heaven who just points, you know, lightning bolts at people and is angry, you know. But God is a God of love. God, here it says, God rejoices over us with joyful songs. Can you imagine that? Imagine God on the throne, the 24 elders worshiping 24/7, 365. There's worship going around the altar and God is singing over us. He might even be looking at us today. We might be one of the only churches meeting in Brisbane today with 100 people. I don't know. I haven't heard of many others that are. He might be going, good on you, New Hope. I'm going to sing over you today. Because I love you. Some of you might be here today and thinking, oh, I've been a bit lukewarm. I've been backsliding a bit. I haven't really been honouring God. I haven't been, you know, doing this and that for God. I'm a bit, maybe God doesn't like me. That is a lie from the devil. God loves you with an everlasting love. He rejoices over you. He sings over you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He loves you. He knows the number of hairs on your head, which for me isn't that much anymore. He knows your thoughts before you think them. He knows your words before you speak them. There's nowhere you can flee from God's presence, it says in the Psalms. He loves you and he rejoices over you with singing. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You know, I love the acronym for joy, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself third. That's the secret to having true joy. You put Jesus first in your life. Then you put others second. Then yourself third. You know, every morning we've been reading through, we read through the book of Matthew, we read through Romans, we're reading through Philippians this week, which is the book of joy. The Apostle Paul wrote Philippians in a prison cell, yet it is called the book of joy. And this week we read a great chapter and had a discussion at breakfast, didn't we, Josh, about how Paul said, Timothy is one of my best men. I'm going to send him to you because he doesn't have self-interest at heart, but the interests of others. And I thought, wow, I would love someone to say that about me. I'd love to say, Matt, I'm going to send him to this church to preach because he doesn't have his own self-interest at heart. He's got the interests of others. It is a secret to having joy, taking your eyes off yourself and looking to the interests of others. Jesus said, he who wants to be the greatest of all must be the servant of all. One of the biggest problems with the age that we live in is that we're all taking selfies all the time and we're all posting our status updates and it's all about me, me, me. Lots of narcissism, lots of self-promotion, lots of, you know, come to my ministry, come to you, lots of, it's all about me. But, you know, I've tried in ministry over 15 years to flip that on its head and say, we are here to do church as a team. We are raising up a team. Everyone has a part to play in this. Sure, I'll promote what we do and I'll invite people to come, you know, but I'm trying to do it not out of self-interest, but out of glorifying God. You know, and I come across it so many times in Christianity. People want to come and preach in this pulpit and it's all about them. They want to sell all their books. They want to promote all this and this or that, and, you know, and sign up to this, you know. And hey, I understand in ministry you've got to do that kind of stuff to keep it going, and I'm not bagging out any ministry. But I'm always very careful to warn anyone that preaches from this pulpit to make sure it's not about you and how good you are and what you've done, but it's about Jesus. We've got to make sure that we have that heart of humility, and we've got to make sure we have Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. That is what J-O-Y spells. Isaiah 12, verse 3, you can write that one down. With joy, you will draw from the wells of salvation. You know, I know that a lot of people won't remember what you actually say, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And, you know, I really want to honor James, our bus driver. He's just popped out for a moment, but he's an amazing man of God going around the shelters. He brings joy wherever he goes. He's a joy spreader. He's like Tilly, my puppy. He just bounces around. He's in his 70s, but he just, you can't stop him. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He's just boom, 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 wherever he goes, full of the joy of the Lord. And, you know, when you get older, you can either get bitter or better, can't you? There's two ways you can end up. Guard your heart. Be careful not to have bitterness and unforgiveness and be critical. You know, they say that, you know, easier to be a music critic than a musician. Easier to be a food critic than a chef. Easier to be a church critic than a pastor. You know, we can be critical about so many other things. We can have so much bitterness and grudges and we can be critical. Or we can be joy-filled. We can get better. We can be a joy spreader. I want to challenge you to guard your heart and make sure you have the joy of the Lord as your strength. You know, interestingly, Kerry Haynes, who's my personal trainer, she trains Carol and the kids and myself twice a week. We go and do a workout in the gym. You notice this? Yeah. And she's amazing. And she just said something this week, you know, whenever I preach on a subject, I've got my radar on all week looking for anything that relates to it that I can share in my sermon. And she said something, I'm like, I'm using that right in the middle of my sermon. She said this, she said, part of her heart as an exercise physiologist is to ask the Lord what kind of workout do people need so that they can be fit and healthy. And it's all about posture. It's all about making sure that your back's straight, your shoulders are back. You know, if you're going to do a workout, you've got to do it right. Before I had her as a personal trainer, I'd be doing push-ups and all sorts of things the wrong way. And she actually said to me, she's noticed my posture in the last year has changed. She reckons I'm taller now. And I've actually looked at photos of myself. About a year ago, I was a bit more like this. I was hunched over all the time and my back, you know. And she said, that's actually a sign that you're carrying lots of burdens and you're stressed. But when you open your shoulders up and you work out and you get, it actually, physically it makes a difference. And she said that one of the things that she does as a personal trainer is she listens to people, just like hairdressers, just like counsellors, you know. People go there and they unburden all these things, don't we, Josh? We go there and we tell her, oh, there's this and that. And she prays for us. And she's not only working on us physically, but spiritually as well. And she says, if I see someone come in like this, hunched over and down and their countenance is down, I ask them, tell me what's going on in your life. And often by the end of the session, they're like this. You know, you can physically see the effects of people that are carrying burdens. But what does the Bible say? Cast your burdens onto Jesus because he cares for you. Don't carry that burden. Cast it on the foot of the cross and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Amen? I'm mixing some metaphors there, but I'm just challenging you to make sure that you don't carry this stuff. The Bible actually says we're actually called to bear one another's burdens. They say a burden shared is a burden halved. That's why our men's group is so important. We get together and we talk about our stuff that we're going through. Our young marriage group, we get together and we talk about our marriages and how our children are driving us crazy and we need some prayer. You know, we share our burdens. That's what the church is for, amen? So that we can strengthen each other as iron sharpens iron. Ephesians 4, verse 7, we're just going to go through a few quick verses and then we'll wrap this up. Ephesians 4, 7, to each one of us, grace has been given. Now, the strength that God provides gives us grace. Now, there's two kinds of grace. There's saving grace, where we're saved through the blood of Jesus, and then there's empowering grace. When we receive the grace of the Lord, He graces us for ministry. He graces us for our marriage. He graces us to raise our children. He graces us to work as unto the Lord and not for others. He graces us to have godly conversation. He graces us and empowers us. When we have the joy of the Lord as our strength, we receive the grace that's given from God. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, "So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us to those who belong to His dear Son." We receive grace when the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because we feel connected to God and loved by Him, it gives us confidence and boldness to approach Him to find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. And the grace that He provides is enough for everything in our lives. And the last verse I'm going to finish with here is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." When we come to God and we say, "God, I am nothing without you," we receive the grace of God and we can say the joy of the Lord is our strength. I want to challenge you today to make sure that whatever is in your heart that is bitterness or unforgiveness, maybe you've got a grudge against someone, you know, maybe you've got a wound in your heart that's made you bitter, or this burden that you've been carrying. I want you to trade that for the joy of the Lord. That song that we sing at church, "I'm trading my sorrows, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure. His joy is going to be my strength." I want to challenge you today to ask for that fruit of the Spirit, which is the joy of the Lord, to be your strength. Let's just bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I thank you for every single person you brought here today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can ask and we'll receive. We can seek and we will find. We can knock and the door will be open unto us. Father, I pray that each one of us can get a fresh revelation about the joy of the Lord being the strength in our life. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to get their heart right with you, that your Holy Spirit will come and move on them right now. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, I've got two questions to ask before we close today. Firstly, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're in a place where you've never asked Him to come into your life. And today you want to say, "I need to confess my sins and have Jesus wash away my sins through His blood shed on the cross." The Bible says, "If any man is in Christ, he has a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you'll be saved. If today you want to pray a prayer with me and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, I just want you to just slip your hand up before me so I can see you want to pray that with me today. Is there anybody today that says, "Yep, today's the day for me. I need to turn from my old life and start a new life with Jesus"? If that's you today, just slip your hand up so I can see it. And if there's anyone online that wants to give their heart to Jesus today, just make a comment and say, "Yes, that's me. I want to pray that prayer." Let's all just pray this prayer together for those that want to make that commitment to Jesus. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you if you prayed that prayer. I believe that that's the beginning of your journey with Jesus. And if you'd like us to give you